So just on behalf of the panel, we'd like to thank you very much for taking the time and effort to put that video together. We think it sets a very nice platform for the evidence that we're now going to hear.
Thank you, sir. I've filed legal submissions dated the 25th of September. I don't intend to read them out or indeed even highlight any parts. I'm really just happy to answer any questions that arise and otherwise get on to the witnesses.
Yep, I'm going to see if we have questions for you. You have questions for the legal submissions?
I just have one, Mr. Chairman. It's 5.16 and it relates to fizzy graphics. It's mentioned again later in your legal submission. A number of people have submitted to us that the fizzy graphics are fine on a regional scale, but on a property scale they seem to be inaccurate, and quite a bit of evidence has been given to us about that. You made some quite strong statements in there about how much you value the fizzy graphics. Would you like to make any comment on that? In 5.16 you virtually said that the fizzy graphics will drive to stock reduction in numbers and less land intensification.
I think the word I've used is may.
Yeah.
Really, the point is that the concept of physiographics and the science behind them is very much in keeping with Ngāi Tahu's values. If you take a look at the Ngāi Tahu Ki Murahuku iwi management plan, Te Tangi A Tauira, it resonates. Very similar concepts. So, to the extent that there may be some site-specific variations in terms of physiographic zones, I've read the response by Mr. McCullen-Clark and Mr. Moore to your questions about that, and I'm entirely satisfied with the advice they have given you about how that can be dealt with. But in terms of the importance of the concept, it is absolutely fundamental to Ngāi Tahu's partnership and its understanding of its partnership with Environment Southland in the preparation of this plan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Good afternoon, Mr. Winchester. I also appreciated the video. It gives a real sense of the connection, interrelationship of Ngāi Tahu with the natural resources here and the importance and the weight of those issues for them. I probably don't have a lot of in terms of questions for yourself, but I might signal what I may ask some of the witnesses as they come forward. And one of them is around the definition of mahinga kai.
Yes.
There was a definition in the draft, then there's a proposed definition in the evidence, and just perhaps explore that, particularly the element request referencing health and how that fits into the traditional description of mahinga kai. Now, I don't expect you to answer that,
yes,
but that's the sort of question, and there's quite good evidence coming forth on mahinga kai.
Yes, and I think that is, Mr. Hepburn deals with the definition, but the foundation for it sits in Dr. Kitson's evidence and to an extent in Dr. Tipper's evidence.
That's
so
right.
Hopefully between the three of them they'll be able to resolve that for you, sir.
Thank you. There's an element to the plan that I've been a bit puzzled by, and I'm not sure what the source of it, and if you go to policy 29 in clause 4, it's got a footnote 132. This is in the version 26 May, right? So at the bottom of page 40, it references the. Just got to find it. It's the wrong one, I think. May have been picked up, actually. But anyway, I'm just... unsure what's being referred to wherever the term Rihiku is used. There's about three different versions. We have the iwi plan that talks about, I think that's where it's from the submission, refers to Rihiku and it's got a map there. Is that what we're talking about when Rihiku was applied? Or is it in terms of Southland boundary? Because I think that's what the plan was referring to initially. And then, so what I'm talking about here is ensuring that the plan is correct in terms of the way it addresses our customs and the way it applies our, utilizes our traditions and places. So, and that's not a question for you either, Segment.
No, I don't want to direct the traffic, but I suspect Mr. Fanga or Ms. Kane will be able to answer that, and possibly with reference to Tangi.
I have been hesitant. This part of the hearing's been coming along, and I've been hesitant to raise it, but I have to do that because there appears to be some inconsistencies in the plans. We just need to correct that.
Sure.
And then I think we'll just, there was those questions around the New Zealand, I think it's New Zealand archaeological sites.
Yes.
That once again, that's, you may have seen other submitters commenting on the status that that may give an iwi plan without going through the rigour of public process. So I'm just interested in your response perhaps to that, or the planner's response to that question.
Yes. Well, I would say that at a threshold level there's no issue with this plan regulating heritage, and in particular heritage sites and cultural heritage sites. The issue, as I understand it, that's been raised in submissions is around the uncertainty in the permitted activity standard about impacts on recorded historic heritage. Ms. Davidson has given that consideration in terms of refining that with a view to addressing issues of concern to Ngaitahu. And I've had a look at the maps in Te Tangi this morning which record those sites, and it's entirely clear from those maps where they are. There'd be no uncertainty based on Ms. Davidson's recommendations. Obviously that doesn't necessarily address wider heritage sites that are not of cultural concern, but I'm entirely satisfied that what's proposed is lawful and certain.
I think the question, another related question, is my understanding that the NZAA have run through a process of validating those archaeological sites. So I'm interested to know if that exercise occurred here in Southland, which would give more rigour to the list.
Yes, I think possibly Ms. Kane will be able to answer that. I know there is still a remaining issue of the concept of double regulation in terms of those archaeological sites, or those NZAA sites being archaeological sites as defined under the Heritage New Zealand Pōhere Taonga Act, and the need for an archaeological authority. But the evidence of Ms. Davidson is that is a narrower and different consideration to the breadth of cultural heritage issues which arise in terms of disturbance of those sites. It's not just the archaeology, it is the associations. It's the cultural importance associated with impacts on those sites that is of concern.
Yes. Check if there's anything on that. You know, I'm notice at 6.6 you were asking that Māori words be in the glossary rather than as a footnote. I think it was 6.6.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Understand that issue. And will anyone speak to that further, or it's quite clear what you're asking for and we understand that?
Yes, well, it's there's a couple of issues there, and it's probably best for the witnesses to speak to the importance of them, but hopefully it's understood as to what the issue is. It's really around the importance of those concepts being specifically recognised along with other defined terms in the plan.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, Mr. Winchester, thank you very much. I would like to ask you about your paragraph 9 on page 25 of the legal submission. And this relates to the use of the word avoid.
Yes.
Use the word avoid. And also, although you didn't mention it where I can see, about the concept of overall, that some submitters have argued we should be adopting. We've had submissions from Alliance, for example, the Fraser Works, and also from the City Council about where some discharges of contaminants seem to be unavoidable as a result of what they're doing. And I just wonder how we're going to cope with that. And you say a paragraph 9.4 that the water plan should not become more permissive as a result of the amendments or additions. But we've had strong submissions from others saying that it is too strong at the moment for them to be able to continue to do the things that they have to do. And I'm just, that seems to be a bit of a dilemma for me. Some other examples are discharges from toll drains on farms, for example, which produced contaminants that go into water courses, the excavation of open drains when taonga species are adversely affected. So that, particularly at paragraph 9.4, about retaining the words like avoid, but yes, also allowing these other things to continue.
Well, I suppose the question of when the word avoid is used is critical for you, and when you use the word avoid, it's clear what it means as a matter of law, because I think there's enough of a body of case law about that now. So it will really come down to an exercise under section 32 as to when and in what circumstances that avoidance, which tends towards prohibition but can in circumstances lead to a non-complying status, which makes a consent much more difficult to grant. When is it appropriate to use that? I detected from the first part of your question around the qualifier overall that suggestions have been made that there may perhaps be either a catchment-based approach in terms of reduction overall. Mm. I'd say that's permissible. You want to be very clear as to, again, when that's appropriate, and also need to be conscious of the case law, the Ngāti Kahununu case, around the concept of unders and overs, and whether that is that would give effect to the National Policy Statement for Freshwater Management. And the answer in that case was that it doesn't. So an unders and overs approach isn't available to you. To essentially play off the good characteristics of one catchment or one resource against the bad of another. I'm not sure I've given a direct answer, but I've given you, I guess, legal parameters around that, right, from my perspective.
Okay, thanks very much. That's all.
Just four matters, Mr. Winchester. Paragraph 6.1. Understand the point you make about footnotes, and so we can act on that. In the body of the text, of the plan, for example, in the section Te Mana o Te Wai. The concept is used, or the practice is used, where a term is given in te reo, and then in brackets after that, an English version of that phrase or word is given. Is that approach acceptable?
I think probably put that to a witness, sir. But as a matter of law, I think it would be cleaner to have the term defined in the glossary rather than necessarily a qualifier or a gloss put in the body of the plan. Just for the sake of consistency, you know, it comes back to Commissioner Allison's question.
Okay. So which witness would address that?
I think you can probably put it to Mr. Hepburn or Ms. Davidson in terms of an approach to plan drafting, and in terms of whether it's appropriate or accepted from a cultural perspective, either Mr. Fanga or Ms. Kane.
Okay, so Mr. Hepburn and Ms. Davidson, did you hear and understand the question? So, just so I don't have to ask it again, can you, when you come to present to us, just give us your views on that matter, please? And if it is acceptable, that's fine. And if it's not acceptable, then we'd want to make sure that we have appropriate term or appropriate English versions to put in the glossary. So there may be a need for some more homework to be done, depending what your advice to us is. Paragraph 7.7. Not a question, it's just really a comment. We certainly as a panel appreciate the focus of Motahu on Mahinga Kai and the importance of that. That came out in the video presentation very strongly. We're also aware of that as an issue from the work we've done, certainly Commissioner Allison and I in Canterbury, where you presented legal submissions on a similar nature for on those plans. So we're very much alive to that issue. So I really just wanted to make sure that you knew that we appreciated that.
No, thank you, sir. And I guess the interesting thing to me is that what Mahinga Kai is in Canterbury is not necessarily the same as what Mahinga Kai is in Southland.
That's right.
There's an interesting characteristic.
Yeah. Paragraph 8.6. I guess I'm not clear there what you're saying. The legal advice we've received from Mr. Moore is that the objectives in this plan, objectives 1 through 18, are not MPSFM freshwater objectives, and that those will be developed through the FMU process, Freshwater Management Unit process, to follow under the Council's staged implementation program that's been published.
Yes, I've read that advice and I understand it, and I think it's sound advice in terms of how the objectives have been characterised. My point is perhaps slightly different, which is that the objectives still need to give effect to the National Policy Statement for Freshwater Management. The question of how they do it and they are not FMU objectives. But I don't accept that they're not NPS objectives, because they have to be as a matter of law. They don't have to get down to the FMU level. And I accept that's a separate process, and that's been also accepted by Ngaitahu. It's really around the effect of those objectives in terms of setting a direction for that subsequent process, which is of central concern to NITAC.
And it may sound like semantics, but it's an important point.
Yep.
While they may not be fresh water objectives insofar as the MPSFM describes that term, I understand that the objectives need to nevertheless give effect to the objectives of the MPSFM, noting that the policies of the MPSFM will be given effect to under the staged implementation program. Is that your understanding as well?
Yes, it is.
Right. And paragraph 8.24, and you've answered some questions on that already. Have you had the opportunity to view Kiwi Rail's legal submissions to us on this matter from
No,
Carruthers.
No, I ran into Miss Carruthers last night, and she wouldn't share the submissions with me. So I'm happy to take a look.
I can tell you what the number of it was. They'd be interested in your response to it. She says that as a matter of law, given the statutory functions of the Regional Council under Section 30 of the RMA, that we don't have jurisdiction to deal with heritage issues and land use rules under either Sections 9 or 13 of the Resource Management Act. So rather than, I mean, if you can give a quick response, that's fine, but if you want to think about that and perhaps read her legal submissions and then come back to us, we'd appreciate that.
Yeah, I think I would.
What, you would like to give a quick response, or you'd like to read them?
No, I'd like to read the submission. She did describe the rule as an unlawful rule, and I did scratch my head. So that's helpful to know what the essence of the submission is. I'll have a look and possibly come back.
We can run a copy off for you so we can make a hard copy available for you to have a look at.
Yes.
And we don't expect you to come back today, but you're welcome to come back to us by the middle of next week.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, thank you. And they were the only questions I had on the submission, but thank you for preparing them in advance.
You're most welcome.